I know who defines me, and that's my Christ. Mm. Who really loves me, and that's who I want to give my life to. So you can't have the good, that's like an internal good and evil within all of us. Like, you can't have that story without really seeing the humanness of us. We have the good and evil inside all of us all the time.
Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. This week, we're in part 5 of our study, Lesser Known Women of the Bible. And we hope you're really learning a lot about new women that maybe you didn't know were in the Bible here and there. They have so much to teach us, and we're learning a lot about ourselves as we learn about them. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, or if you'd like to listen to the entire series, you can do that on our website, studywithfriends.org. Just search there on the homepage. At the bottom of the homepage, there's a search box. Just type in the word women, and this Bible study will come up for you. You can listen there online, or you can search our podcast on iTunes. Let's get started. Acts chapter 10. We read about Peter's dream vision, directing him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. But tucked in, we find a little known woman named Dorcas. And there are 7 verses we'll read that give us her story. Jan, can you read those?
Sure. Acts 9, 36 to 42. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days, she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Paul was there, sent 2 men to him, urging him.
Peter.
Urging him, please come to us without delay. So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all aside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And she gave her his hand and raised her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in God.
We know that Acts, the book of Acts, is a great book if you love an adventure story, because it really is like miracles and the beginnings of the church, and that God used these miracles to build faith in him. And that's what many of us take away from this story, and then we walk along our merry way and we're done with this story. But there's a woman in this story, and she's a person who lived and had a life, and I think she's someone we can learn from. And so I wanted to just spend a few minutes with her. We don't know if she's rich or poor, but we do know that she is generous, because it says she's full of good works, which indicates that she was not an occasional charitable giver, but that she was full of good works. Think about in your mind right now, who do you think of who is full of good works? That's someone who's actively, intentionally being charitable and kind and serving on a regular basis. That's the personality that we see she has, because it says she's full of good works. She's called a disciple, and this is the only New Testament occurrence of that word with a feminine ending, which I think is worth noting that this may identify her as an original follower of Jesus Christ. So she's special. She's set apart in some ways that are not necessarily obvious to the naked eye. And so we know then that Lydda, about 10 miles southeast of where she was, Peter had already been performing miracles. Aeneas, who was paralyzed and bedridden, his story is in Acts 9, 32 and 34, was one of the recipients of Peter's miracles. And that news, because we know that news travels, and that's how the church gets built, is that people are hearing about the miracles that God is performing through his disciples. Word spreads down to Joppa, and so they send for Peter because they want a miracle. And also, if you remember the story of when Jesus and Jairus, the pattern is the same. Jesus sent everyone out of the room, and he prayed next to the body. The pattern is the same. It's worth looking at that as well. He kneels down and he, through the power of Jesus Christ, performs a miracle, and she is raised from the dead. And then, of course, it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord, which is the purpose of all miracles. The purpose of all miracles is to glorify God. The end. Do you guys want to give me a little bit of a feel for Tabitha? Do you know a Tabitha who is full of good works?
I absolutely know a Tabitha. Tabitha gave herself away. That's why the whole town
loved her.
Went crazy when she died, because each one of those people had a piece of her. Talk about relationships. She had some kind of connection to everybody. And
they were showing tunics and other garments.
Yeah, right. That she made them. Isn't that precious? Isn't that a precious little snapshot? They're mourning and they're talking to her. Look what she made for me. Look what she did for me. I love that little snapshot.
Yes. And I think relationships is a big word here again. Like when we talked about Priscilla and her ability to teach the way she could teach, because relationships, and here Dorcas or Tabitha touched the way she touched because of the relationships.
Absolutely. And isn't that interesting? Because on the previous program, you were saying, Allie, that Athaliah had influence and wanted power and influence and control. And here are women who wielded their influence in a different, more appropriate way. How opposite are, and Dorcas and Tabitha is the same person, so we'll call her Dorcas or Tabitha, whatever you like. How differently she approached her life and how people were drawn to her because of her servant heart, because she gave herself away the way you just said, Jan. And then here's a woman who's white knuckle trying to hold on to her influence and has to kill to keep it. And here's Dorcas, who gives away because her hands are open and Athaliah's were clutched closed. And I think that's an image that we can learn from, that Dorcas gives away, Priscilla gives away, Lois and Eunice, givers, even Jehosheba gave. And how much more influence we can have for the kingdom by opening our hands and letting the Lord Jesus Christ flow through us, instead of holding on to that smoke of influence we think we can have, that is our own self, our own intelligence, our own control. It's a lie. We think it's the truth, but it's a lie, that influence.
You know, I almost heard you say, without saying it, when we talked about, what was the first one? Athaliah.
Yeah.
And the difference between Athaliah and Dorcas and Priscilla. The one difference is who they served. It changed how it all played out, who they served. Because you made me see the kind of power that Athaliah had. Miserable, but powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And had she served the same God.
Amen. Oh, preach it, Jan. You're 100% right.
Who she served.
She served herself, and these women served the Lord.
Yes.
And in their service, we just did a series on Nehemiah, which is, there's ties here to servant leadership. How do you truly lead as a woman of God? We lead by walking next to, not by yanking someone behind us. But we walk next to you and we say, like Nehemiah did, I will build this wall with you. I will rebuild the wall with you. And Athaliah said, you will do what I say or I will kill you. And each one has its own impact. I wish that I could tell you that Athaliah's way never works, but it does, because the world is broken.
Yeah.
And it responds in fear to power and control.
But see the difference between fearful and lovingness. Like the lovingness, like these people were coming willingly, and they were willing to listen, and they were willing to submit, and it wasn't like a form of slavery. Like when you're doing it in fear, your mind and heart are not willing, but your body will. But when you're doing it in a loving way, your whole body will follow. I liked seeing the transition, like when they were coming there to weep, they were coming there willingly to weep for her. They were willingly to find Peter to like help her. And not only was it in the garments of like them self-giving, but you could probably feel it through even this short time how much time she spent with these people, how much time that she was growing with them, and how much time was she listening to mm-hmm. them. Because
that's the kind of woman I want to be. Yeah. Someone who mm-hmm. has quiet ministry of just loving people and serving them yes. in just quiet, humble ways. Mm. That's the best kind of woman. I want to be that kind of woman. And I want not even to know all the things that God was able to do through me. I want that because I wanted to be so focused on him that I'm not even paying attention to whatever. There's no glory that belongs to me. That's the kind of woman I want to be.
Well, look at Job's wife. Job's wives didn't even say, like, look what I'm doing for him. Look what I'm doing for him. We only heard one verse from her.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when she became human.
Mm-hmm. Just that put your head down and get the job done.
Yeah. Like, and the strength didn't come from her own. Right. There's times in all our lives that we feel crippled and we're on our knees, and it depends like where our heart lies. Mm-hmm. You know, we could be in the feelfulness and in the darkness in ourself, or we could just submit and know who our God is and how he loves us. And this is just for a short time mm-hmm. that, yes, we're refining in the fire. Tabitha, like with the love that she had, like for the people, she was faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Like her heart was faithful.
I love what you said, Jan, because mm-hmm. there was the fundamental difference is who they serve.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really good. Thank you so much for saying that.
That was deep.
What you said when you talked about, I don't know why.
Athalia.
And you, even with all the chaos, even when you talked about the kind of power she had, though.
Athalia,
mm-hmm. the kind of strength and the kind of drive and the kind of, look at the skill set that it takes mm-hmm. to do what she did. And she was a planner.
Schemer.
She was a schemer. And then when you said, wow, if she had put that to a different kind of use, and I think it keeps coming back to who you serve.
That's right. Yeah. You're 1,000% right. You're 1,000% right. I had a friend years ago who used to say, every day I wake up, I choose love or I choose fear.
Mm.
That's pretty fundamental too. Am I going to behave in a way that is born from love, which is from God? Mm. Or am I going to behave in a way that is born from fear, which is the enemy?
Right.
That does boil it down. A lot of behaviors boil down to one or the other. I always say that every lie has its root in fear. Betrayal has a root in fear. That control, power struggle, that's a fear. You brought it up earlier. Or the root that is love is serving and giving, selfless. I think these couple things, if you take them as hinge points of like, where were these women coming from? Where were they springing forth from? Mm-hmm. The difference is self. Or the enemy versus God. Thank God he strengthens us to do the things, because we could never do them without him anyway.
Right.
The things of him he strengthens us to do. And when we serve him, he strengthens us to do the things he calls us to do. Thank God. Okay, so we did a lot. We talked about a lot of women. I want to distill each one down a little bit. I think that we did touch on these, but I want to look at them again and talk for just a moment about how we can relate to them, how can we emulate them, where do we see their lives in our lives. And I want to hear what notes you made next to the following statements. So I will tell you that I'd like to say I don't relate to a self-involved woman likely to run her own life and the lives of those around her into the ground. I'd like to tell you that I don't relate to that, but I do. That's Athalia. She was self-involved and trying to run her life and the lives around her, but she ran them into the ground.
Mm.
Now, what I can tell you is I do know at this point in my life, if I'm the one running it, that's where it's going to head.
Mm.
The interesting thing is that does not necessarily always stop me from trying to run it anyway. Mm. I find myself still trying to run things. Mm. Unfortunately, I can relate to that, although I'd like to say that I'm learning from her and from my own experiences and from the Holy Spirit that lives in me to stop doing that and let God be in control of my life and to teach me to want what he wants. How about you guys?
Well, with Athalia, even with our world that we're in today, just because we are raised a certain way does not mean that we are not capable of changing. And that in God, I wouldn't have been able to die of myself to change. That doesn't define us. Our heritage doesn't define us. Our story doesn't define us. Our where we come from, or our boo-hoos of the day, or our work. We just have to remember who defines us, who our character comes from. And I'm a control freak. I am thankful that God has put in my life that he gives me the daily bread every day, that I can only focus on every hour of the day, because without him doing that, I become this Athalia. And I can easily be self-driven of my own pride. And that's where my destruction came. And I hurt many people. I hurt many people with my tone, my voice. And within that was fear. So I could definitely relate a lot to her. But submitting and finding who we come from and who our character is and who defines us, really focusing on our daily bread that he provides, that's where our heart becomes softened. You can't have one without the other. Like here, like we have Jehosheba and Athalia. You can't have Athalia without telling Jehosheba's story, because
you can't tell Jehosheba's story without telling her Athalia's.
You can't.
They're forever linked.
They are. Like, and even though I love my mother, but I don't have to like her.
And you don't have to be like her.
No. I love my father, but I don't have to like him. And I know who defines me, and that's my Christ. Who really loves me, and that's who I want to give my life to. So you can't have the good. That's like an internal good and evil within all of us. Like, you can't have that story without really seeing the human, the humanness of us. We have the good and evil inside all of us all the time. And that's an internal battle. Like, that's a nonstop chaotic battle that they've had forever.
I agree with you. I would never call myself an Athalia. But there are times when I am that self-involved woman. But the good news is that the word helps you with that. Just committing to memory certain passages. When you struggle with things like anxiety, you feel yourself getting anxious about something. Now, you know that's not of God. So that kind of makes you a little self-involved, because you're thinking that you're the answer and you're not the answer.
Well, it's interesting. I always want to take advantage of opportunities to say this. We're coming from a position assuming this conversation is among folks who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you're lost as to what we are talking about, the spirit that lives in us and the struggle inside of us, self versus Christ, and then pray with me that Jesus Christ would come into your life and come into your heart and make these changes that we are talking about. He will help you win these battles that we all face and we all fight, that we all consistently want to do better and find ourselves failing in the ability to do that. If you're honest, and I'm so thankful that I'm sitting with a table filled with honest women who are saying, I would like to distance myself from Athalia, but I see myself in that woman and I see her in me. When I give over to the things that belong to the world and the things that belong to my flesh and the things that belong to the enemy, those are the ways and the means by which I become that woman. And the only way I become anything different is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross and he rose again to save me from the mess, like Athalia, that I already am, And he saved me from that. So don't let this go for 1 second longer without saying, if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, email us, call us, contact us on the website. We will pray with you. We will send you a Bible. We will work with you and grow and help you develop and disciple you. We promise to do that. But take this moment and check your heart and ask the God of the universe who loves you, who has you listening right now for a reason. Do I know you? Have you saved me? Am I changed? And so I just need to put pause on this conversation for anybody who needs to know that assurance. There's no exact words to use. It is about your heart opening to the Lord of the universe, the God who sent his son, put him on a cross for you, and saved your life. Receive it. And whatever words make that right for you, Jesus Christ, I know that you died for my sins. I know that you raised from the dead to prove to me who you are, to prove to the world that it was finished. Thank you, God. Thank you for that miracle. And thank you that it is personal and real to me right now, and that I can live a different life through your Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to come in and do that work in me, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes you just got to stop for the gospel.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. So let's finish up. We talked a lot about the wife of Job. Let me just characterize Jehoshaphat. So we talked about Athaliah, self-involved, likely to run her own life and the lives of those around her into the ground. I say that's me, without the power of Jesus Christ that lives in me. Jehoshaphat, a protective and brave woman, breaking the chain of family dysfunction. That is so many women that I know. That is you, yes. Missy. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you, Allie. Mm. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
A weary, mourning, exhausted caretaker in an impossible situation, which is the wife of Job. I know women in that right now. Can we just take a moment to just pray for those women? God, thank you for loving us all deeply and for knowing us, for knowing our circumstances when we feel there's no one around and we feel alone in an impossible situation. God, you know us. You are with us. You have not abandoned us, nor you have not forsaken us. Thank you for knowing us and loving us in that way. And God, for anyone who's with us right in this moment, God, I lift her heart that you would be in her and through her and with her in such a real way today that she's reminded you have not left her and that you will never leave her and that this impossible situation will pass, maybe not in this lifetime, but in the next. And God, we lift it to you in your son's name.
Amen.
Lois and Eunice, mother and daughter, raising a child in the faith and hoping to see him become fully committed to Jesus. Oh my gosh, that resounds with me. It's all I want. That's all I want. I don't care what my girls do for a living. I just want them to love Jesus. Mm. And a well-educated woman still working in the marketplace and bringing the gospel with her. I love that picture of Priscilla. Do you see all the different women that we all are?
Yes.
And so the God's word is living and active and still relevant to this culture. And then the steadfast but quiet giver connected to her community by her faith and her selfless service to others. I know those women too. I'm blessed by those women. I want to be one of them. I'm not as much that way as I'd like to be yet. Mm-hmm. I'm working on it. Can we pray it out? Let me just say this. God loves you so personally, every season and every facet of your life. And he gave each of these women and so many more in the Bible to show you he knows you. He knows you, sister. He knows you, every good part of you and every ugly part of you. And he loves you completely. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much that you see us completely. In Psalm 139, it says, you know how we were formed. You see us completely. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it, Lord. I thank you that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that you know me so well and you love me completely, completely. There's not a piece of me that you reject. You love me completely and you shape me and you form me into the likeness of your son through a miraculous experience of the Holy Spirit in my life. God, fill me up and fill up each of us with more Holy Spirit than we ever thought we could handle. God, show us the way. Give us your spirit. Give us yourself. Give us your son. Fill us up that we could glorify you the way these women have done. And may it be so in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're so glad you listened today. We really believe these Bible studies can be a good resource no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. If you're new to the Bible, curious but not ready to go to church, this is a way you can explore. Or if you're a seasoned veteran of the faith, each time you study, you go deeper in understanding and relationship with our Lord Jesus. We really hope you found something in today's study that blessed you. We're listener supported, so we do rely on your prayers and financial support. During this series, we'd like to send you a book called All the Women of the Bible, which is a resource I used when writing this study. I like the book because it has a complete list of every woman that appears in the Bible, but it also takes a creative look at a selection of these women and what their story might be teaching us. We'd like to send you that book for a donation of any amount. That's studywithfriends.org/donate to donate online, and you can just note lesser known women of the Bible on your check or in the note provided online. Honestly, hearing from you in any way makes our day. We always pass the emails around and celebrate that you cared enough to reach out. Sometimes we even send you a little gift just for emailing us. So if you are blessed by us on the station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org. And please make sure to include the station you're listening to. That helps us a lot. We strongly believe in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.